wild man.
I watch you struggle, and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Break during your stated time is 8:40 p.m. Central Daylight Time. The digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, powered by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings, salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm here. It's Son of Crow. Son of Crow on Venmo. Call me Drew. To one side of me, via Skype or whatever, is Ryan Starrett. Hi.
Hello.
And also here, the AU Chief.
You're correct. Goodison Park time is 2:39 a.m. And we're still top of the league. This is the Everton podcast, right?
The world is weird now, guys. Everybody hurts. Everton's
the Braves are winning playoff series
versus the league. Braves in the playoffs. And Auburn cannot get it done against Georgia.
Did you have to rub it in with the Athens, the most famous thing from Athens, Georgia?
On purpose, Chief. That was okay. All thought out. Son of Crow doesn't mess around. The best thing to ever come out of Athens, Georgia is already.
Whoa. Come on. B-52s
are great, too. Solid. People think of the B-52s for the one song.
Yeah,
Love Shack. But that's not
or Rock
even...
Lobster.
But... Rock Lobster is a jam. It is a jam. But
you want to know how I found out what both of those songs were?
Oh, God.
Rock Lobster?
Lego Movie or something? I don't know.
The end of Bill Nye, when they always did the songs that were parodied into being science-themed.
That's they did the theme songs. They did the theme song for Bill Nye, I believe.
That's what I thought. I thought
that's probably why.
Yeah.
They were involved in that somehow.
Did they?
They involved in the Pete and Pete theme song as well? I don't know. There was some Nickelodeon show.
No, Pete and Pete theme song is by a little known band. Oh man, I know this. I'm looking it up now though because
Brian action... Pete and Pete was a Nickelodeon live action TV show with two brothers named Pete and Pete. One was tall and redheaded. And the other one was short and portly and dressed like a lumberjack.
Polaris was the name of the band. And the name of the song was Hey Sandy. And I had this song. I got this one on Napster.
Yeah, I have no recollection of Pete and Pete.
Well, Ryan, it was long before you were born. So.
Yeah, it went off the air when I was one. So.
Okay, yeah. You probably recognize the older Pete as one of the McAllisters from Home Alone.
Which one was he?
This song.
The tall, skinny, redheaded one.
Gosh, that song really does
familiar.
Not Bud, but you don't remember him from Home Alone?
Hang on. Well, I'm only seeing pictures of him as an adult. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, that's why I remember him. Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Maybe the best TV theme song ever written is Hey Sandy by Polaris for the Pete and Pete, for the adventures of Pete and Pete.
This is all we got to talk about, isn't it?
Well, it should be. This is now a Polaris soundtrack theme song podcast. This is now a Pete and Pete podcast. The adventures of Pete and Pete were my favorite television show during those years. Yeah, there's no way to really describe it instead of just like bizarro, gonzo children's television. There's no reason.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Kids' television.
I mean, I guess there's probably a lot of shows that were spawned by that kind of thing, but at the time there was literally nothing.
Yeah. Like. It was like if, what was the show with, it was like if the Wonder Years was written by a bunch of dudes microdosing mushrooms.
Yeah.
Or not even really microdosing, just on mushrooms.
Just on
mushrooms.
Yeah.
Sure.
A bunch of dudes on mushrooms wrote The Wonder Years, and it became The Adventures of Pete and Pete. It was my favorite TV show.
Now, was Harry the Spy, was that like a spinoff of that? Like the Michelle Trachtenberg show that was on at the same time?
She was in Pete and Pete.
Right, that's what I thought.
But I don't think it was. Yeah. I don't think Harriet the Spy was actually part of it.
I haven't. Harriet the Spy is probably a novel series. That
Pete
was,
and Pete is set the town of Douglasville.
Douglasville, Georgia? No.
They license plates in the TV show refer to whatever state Pete is in as the Sideburn State. Which makes no
sense.
What
is the Sideburn State?
There is no Sideburn State. That's the point.
No, but I mean, what is the Sideburn State?
Georgia. Kentucky. Kentucky's the Sideburn State.
It definitely was a Midwestern state, whatever.
Certain parts of Wellsville were fictionalized for purposes of the show. Glert County, mentioned in Yellow Fever at the Good and Bad and Ugly TV show, does not exist in any state. Glert County, G-L-U-R-T. It's filmed in New Jersey. Yeah. It was named, Wellsville was named after a song by a band named The Embarrassment. So even the name of the town in the show was named after an alt music.
It's the most Gen X kid show you could imagine. Like Gen Xers were finally given some like creative juice, and that's the show they made.
Yeah, and one of the main characters was the strongest man in the world, and Artie, the strongest man in the world.
That's right.
And he is a personal superhero for Little Pete.
Yeah.
And he just walks around in like long johns and feats of strength, but none of them are that impressive.
Oh, and Pete, Little Pete also has a tattoo of a woman on his arm.
As a kid, I remember thinking like,
yeah,
holy cow, this kid has a tattoo of a woman. Not like
that he would, another that he would girl, make a dance woman on his arm. That was the thing.
Man.
So check it out.
Are we just reminiscing about the times when we used to beat Georgia? Is that what we're doing? Oh,
well. Yes.
No, we're reminiscing about better things than that game. One of them is The Adventures of Pete and Pete. So, I have a couple of confessions to make about Saturday Night. First one is this. This year, since the global pandemic known as COVID-19, I have decided that my personal mental health is more important than almost anything else. So there are some things that I refuse to do, and one of them is make myself be angry for no reason. And if I can limit my frustration, nerves, or anxiety, then I choose to do it. Call me a bad fan, but I watched the entire first half on mute, and then I did not watch the second half of this football game. I had no reason to. I had no reason to watch the second half of this game.
Yeah, we actually tied him in the second half.
I turned the game off, and
victory, baby.
I said, I'll keep looking at it on I'll turn my notifications on ESPN Gamecast, and every so often I'll just check and see if I should turn this game back on. But I never did. I never did.
Yeah. You didn't really miss much.
Yeah.
We did.
Thank you, Sarah. Wife of Crow bought me a piece of cheesecake, so I'll be eating cheesecake on the pod.
Oh, man.
Cheesecake.
Speaking of my personal mental health.
Man. Jealous.
Yeah. So, that's my big confession, is that I did not watch the entire... It's the first time I've really done this. Actually, the last time I really just didn't watch a game because I didn't want to be mad was 2012. So, be that as it may.
Hmm.
But
it sounds like you're not really ready to call this 2012.
Not in the least. No. We didn't lose to Mississippi State yesterday, Saturday.
Speaking of, a year ago today, we lost to Arkansas in 2012.
So. See, like that.
That was the worst.
Also, we didn't give up 63 points. Now, we probably could have.
Definitely.
Yeah, it felt like it. It felt like the foot was pulled from the gas.
It felt like Georgia had Verez Ward at wide receiver on a couple plays. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think we had Verez Ward defensive tackle on a couple plays.
Oh, was it like a 40-yard, just nobody covering him on the sideline, and he just stopped running.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to catch this one. It's fine.
Same guy. I won't casually libel anybody at the moment. So
Well, and then the Cowboys kicked off on Sunday. I didn't watch much of that either.
Well, that hadn't been good for your mental health for a number of years.
No, since probably since Pete and Pete were on. The key is cheap just to limit your expectations.
Yeah. I'm not panicking until we lose to Arkansas, and then I'm not panicking.
100%. If we come on this podcast next week and we're 1-2, I'm going to be
a lot more cheesecake.
Be a lot more cheesecake.
I can tell you this, we might get some listens next week, but then the week after that, we're not getting any listens. So, if that's the case. But
there may not be a podcast if we lose to Arkansas.
No, man, we lose to Arkansas. This will be a podcast talking about what's the name of this prospect we're about to sign on Friday?
We're just jumping into basketball already.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, basketball kicks off in.
This is a soccer podcast.
Yeah.
Auburn soccer's not playing either.
I know, because of the virus.
Hey, but my team is number one in the UK.
Also, our team chief, the first American with 3 assists in the top 5 Gio Reyna. European club, Gio Reyna, for Big Foul Bay. Durbin's looking pretty good. Again, I'm trying to manage my expectations across the board this season. However, I think they're going to win the league.
Jadon Sancho is still a Dortmund player right now, so he's not going anywhere. Nope. And although everybody, the transfer window closed yesterday. Ryan is probably going crazy. Yeah, yeah. And people are like, God, I can't. You know, teams are mad. Everybody's always mad on transfer deadline day. And the transfer deadline or the transfer window opens back up in like 2 months.
Right, because of the season.
So it's not really a.
But at the moment, we've got Sancho and Haaland at the attack.
And Bellingham and Gio Reyna.
Gio Reyna is starting. Gio Reyna is not even the. Here's the crazy thing, Ryan. You live in the United States, a country that now has a professional soccer player playing for FC Barcelona.
And Dortmund. A kid from Birmingham, Alabama started for Bayern.
And Bayern. You got Bayern.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Barca. Juventus.
Apparently he's a Tide fan, though. So.
And.
Oh, yeah.
City. West Man City has a goalie from the United States.
So how many scholarships did they turn down?
Fulham has 2 Americans.
Well, I'm because it's full America. They always have an American.
One of which was developed by Everton, the Everton Academy, unfortunately. Poor guy. Anthony Robinson, big Star Wars fan, too.
I'll talk about anything besides that Georgia game, Ryan.
Speaking of transfers.
I'll talk about lacrosse.
We got some transfers?
We do have a transfer.
Harold Joyner. He's talking about Harold Joyner.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I'm over it, Ryan.
He's in the portal.
And that makes
that's my transfer portal.
Each of the top 4 players from the 2018 class. Three of the top 4.
I think it's Stargate.
Connus Miller, Harold Joyner, all gone from the program.
Turns out Connus Miller. And then Matthew Hills kind of sucks.
Change positions. What's that?
Turns out Connus Miller kind of sucks.
Did he ever release his tell all about the program?
Who cares?
Can't wait, man.
I think he was, dropping hints and stuff.
Nothing more than I like to hear dirt from people with sour grapes,
At least he didn't go talk to HBO about it.
This just in, college football player who didn't pan out has hard feelings towards coaching staff, claims it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Whoa, breaking news.
Did Joey Gatewood get in the game for Kentucky, speaking of transfers? This past week,
Joey Greatwood.
I'm not sure he got cleared.
But Ryan, that's okay. First of all, that stat top 3 of the top 4 players, 2018 class, blah 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 blah. That's kind of a BS stat. That's kind of a fake news stat. And I'll tell you why. Yes, from a statistical standpoint, it's true. However, one of them, Joey Gatewood, wasn't as good as the other quarterback we had in. That's fine. You want that to be the case. He had a better player.
There's a pretty large portion of the fan base that doubts that assumption, by the way.
Okay, well, they're wrong. 2, I'm not the biggest Bo Nix fan in the world. However, it was fairly obvious he can throw the ball better than Joey Gatewood can.
Sure.
Two, Connus Miller turns out kind of sucks as a guy and maybe as a player. Three.
Yeah, I'm never going to doubt.
Probably, Harold Turner probably was one of those kids who came in and didn't want to change positions. But he should have been a slot receiver his whole career. Okay.
Still could be. I don't understand why. Anyway.
I guarantee you that's the conversation. Hey, man, you are not going to play here at running back right now. Will you change positions? No. Okay, well, we'll have to see you.
Man. I love seeing him out there at running back, though. He's so big.
Me too. I picked him as my dark horse candidate to lead the team in rushing this year because I wanted to see him.
Yeah. But yes,
We recruited a better player than him, and he got beat out. So again, yes, these guys transferred away, but they didn't transfer away because Gus is bad. If anything, transferred away because Gus recruited better players than them in subsequent recruiting classes. That isn't a problem. In fact, that's what you want to happen every year.
I think you want to have good recruiting classes every year.
Yeah.
And then those guys that are upperclassmen are your main contributors.
But if I recruit, Ryan, if Isaac Okoro had come in and let's say Chuma Okeke doesn't go to the NBA draft.
Sure.
And Isaac comes in and Bruce is like, look, I know Chuma's awesome. We all love Chuma. He's an NBA player, but Isaac Okoro is better. Would we be like, and Chuma decided to transfer or to go pro, would we go, man, Bruce has lost control of the program? No, we'd go, he got a better player in that position.
I think you're being quite generous on comparing Harold Joyner to Chuma Okeke.
I'm saying even in the best case scenario, when you recruit a great recruiting class every year, if you end up with a better kid, you want the better kid to play. You don't have to go, oh, it's a failure at that 2018 recruiting class that the 2019 kids are all playing. No, he's recruited a good class in 19.
How many 2018 offensive linemen have transferred away?
That's
We didn't have any 2018 offensive linemen. Oh, dang.
So that's a real criticism. To me, the kids transferring away, I don't count that as a genuine criticism of Gus at this point. Like, Asa Martin transferring away, he wouldn't have been playing right now, so I don't really care that much. But the offensive line is a genuine criticism that is valid and, like, needs answers.
If Seth Williams decided he was going to put his name in the transfer portal tomorrow, then you might be a little worried, right?
Exactly. That is a starter.
He's going to be transferring to the Bengals.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Packers. Or I bet Aaron Rodgers hopes the Packers. The Packers have no receivers, guys.
He was 20 for 20 to his running backs and tight ends against the Falcons.
Someone told me that, and this may not be wrong. This may not be right. The Packers have not spent a first-round pick on an offensive skill position player since Aaron Rodgers has been there.
Except in this past draft class when they drafted a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. They
drafted. Right. God, that is wild to have.
All their guys, all their receivers are always just dudes that, like...
That Aaron Rodgers make look really good.
Yeah, and they went without a running back for, like, 2 years.
I mean, Randall Cobb was really good there, but...
Yeah.
How was he not a first-round draft pick is a good question. Because he was a man at Kentucky.
I guess because he didn't have a defined position.
Right.
Is probably what it was. But yeah, he single-handedly made that Kentucky team good.
Well, do you guys want to talk about basketball?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the Georgia game.
We're not talking about the Georgia game anymore, right? I don't want to talk about this
anymore.
It's over. I mean, we stank. I guess we could boil it down into like 2 minutes here. How about that?
Great.
The Georgia game.
Tank Bigsby is awesome and should take all the running back snaps. It should just be more than 8 carries a game.
Yeah, there we go.
Fair assessment?
I'm with that. I'll give my seal of approval to that one.
Because I think he was. He also had 7 catches for 68 yards, and 2 of those catches went for 0 yards. But he saved 15 yards on the sack each time.
I'll go further. If anybody besides Tank Bigsby, Anthony Schwartz, or Seth Williams gets the ball, it's a wasted play.
Or Eli Stove, but Eli Stove wasn't out there.
Yeah, right. Especially Eli Stove's hurt. Sean Shivers is hurt.
That's true. Sean Shivers was hurt.
We almost got a absolutely beautiful JJ Pegwee's catch, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just big man laid out for it. I wanted to get that so bad.
He got slammed in the head, too, by the Georgia defender.
He had a catch on that tight end screen where he released too early. And in the first quarter, and it made me so happy only because he got the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm happy know that he's continuing.
We're losing Harold Joyner. I'm glad we've got this guy. I think it's safe to say that the only way that we're going to have real success this year is if we have a lot of improvement on both lines. That's really where it all started. If that gets fixed somehow, I think the team looks – all the other things that look bad, you don't even notice them anymore.
Right.
Hopefully there's a plan for that. I think picking five offensive linemen and going with those guys and letting them make mistakes and doing it all together is better than not letting them get settled at all and just moving them around. And defensive line, I don't really know how to solve that problem. We've had this before, even when we had better guys in there, where we were having trouble getting pressure. Maybe we'll get that figured out. Maybe it won't be a problem against the lesser teams, like Arkansas, the Mississippis, et cetera. But that's really all there is that we can do, is hope that both lines get better.
That's pretty good analysis, Chief.
Hopefully let's stop making defensive linemen play offensive line for us. Just a future goal.
Not sure
what we can do about it now. But.
Yeah. As of today, the only goal is to just get better on the offense and defensive line and get healthy on the secondary and backfield.
Yeah.
And not get your best safety ejected in the first quarter.
That was annoying.
I mean, it was targeting, but it was...
Annoying. It's annoying that you get thrown out for targeting because it doesn't stop anybody from targeting. So...
Also not a huge fan of your already thin secondary having starters on special teams, but
yeah, that was my first red flag in the game is I'm like, why is like our best?
Well, that's an old Urban Meyer thing. Yeah. Urban Meyer used to have starters on special teams left and right.
I was mainly taking
special teams seriously was what he would say.
I miss when we had guys like underclassman Craig Stevens on the kickoff team and the punt return team. That was great. Gunners, just dudes that are not going to get a lot of playing time otherwise, just out there gunning. I like it, but not Smoke Monday, please. But at this point, maybe that's all we got. Maybe that's why he's out there, because we can't trust other people to do the job, and then that's a problem in and of itself. I don't know.
Frank Beamer was that way too. He put starters on special teams just because he was a special teams coach who they had to play offense and defense. Those Virginia Tech team for a while back then. But it was like he focused more on practice on special teams than he did on the other parts of the ball.
Coming back there didn't hurt either.
Freaking basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming. 50 days away as we record this.
Inshallah.
Might be 3 days away from a best high school player we've ever signed. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
Since for the last a minute one. At least.
It's possible.
What's that?
That's since the last time we did this a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
With Sharif.
Unfortunately, I don't think we got that guy last time we talked about it.
No, Sharif was the best. It's currently the best player we ever signed.
And Sharif Cooper is the highest ranked player. If J.P. Thor hadn't reclassified, I think he would have ended up being the best player we've ever signed. But he reclassified.
That's right.
All went away. I think here's my issue with basketball recruiting now. It's now I feel about it like I do football recruiting, in that it's hard to get excited when guys commit, because you used to in basketball, if guys committed, you could count on it sticking. And now with the G League in play, until they sign that, I'm not even sure if they can't just go play it, even if they've signed a national letter of intent to play.
They can.
They can.
Yeah, they absolutely can.
That's what I thought. So until they step on campus and start practicing here and then play a game, maybe it might not be a good idea to get excited.
Yeah, I don't imagine the G League's going to be poaching people off active rosters.
Right.
No, but it's a bad look for the G League. Yeah. However, the G League is going to run out of guys because apparently, based on what I've read, the G League is not signing an infinite amount of dudes to fill roster spots. It appears they're just populating one team.
Yeah.
Like one team of high school recruits called like G League Elite.
Yeah.
Like you're not, so we're not competing with him going to go play for the Fort Bend Skyhawks or whatever. It's either he comes, or the Mad Ants. It's either he comes play for Auburn or he goes plays for this G League Elite team.
And they're not even playing like a real G League schedule, right? It's like some other kind of thing.
They're playing just almost getting exhibitions. Like,
it's like AAU. Schedule. Yeah, it's basically they're going to get paid to play.
They're getting paid like $150,000 to paid practice. More to
play. Yeah, I was about to say paid more to play AAU.
They're getting paid $150,000 to go practice with NBA coaches, with NBA scouts and coaches at every single practice.
It's basically draft prep is all it is.
It's a year-long paid draft prep.
I am curious if we start, like after this has gone on for a year or two, if we start to see some of the guys that maybe would consider going to the G League, consider staying and going to college for a year and being that, you know, all over ESPN, being a campus hero, being the big shot. Yeah.
I think Kentucky's still going to get dudes.
Like, it depends, man. Like if you're Zion,
some guys are going to want the money. That's
like if you're Zion, if you're Zion Williamson, you didn't need to go to Duke. He had 1 million Instagram followers before he signed with Duke.
But did he need to go to the G League either?
I mean, he didn't need to get hurt at Duke.
He still went number one.
I know, that injury had been a little more serious, that would have been way worse than going to get paid $150,000 in the G League.
Yeah, he could still get hurt there, though.
G League games are all on ESPN as well.
I think he may have gotten a little more than $150,000 to do what he already did.
True.
But I said maybe. I didn't say he did. This is not libel. Nobody come after us.
Well, his agent or someone testified that he got paid to go to Duke, so he reminded him of libel. It's been said under oath.
Well, I just said I put a number on it. I don't know the number.
I think a guy like Zion Williamson would choose the G League only because it goes ahead and speeds up his time in the NBA.
Yeah, he's like, I imagine they get to like meet with teams throughout the year instead of in that like little window.
They get to practice unlimited amounts of hours as opposed to college.
I wonder if this had been a normal year, if they would have played in the summer, like had a whole summer league team.
It would have been a summer league team. Absolutely. They already said that. But and that's the other thing is, are we going to sign a kid when are we going to sign a kid when, if he goes to the G League, they don't play any games? Like, they haven't announced the G League's having a season. They canceled last season halfway through it, so.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, it'll hurt these guys. That'll hurt some of those G League guys that went that way just to have a whole year not playing.
No one's done it yet.
Right.
So the first crop of the G League guys will play their first G League season this fall.
If it happens. Those guys will be, they'll find something for those guys to do even if there's not a G League season, I assume.
Yeah.
They'll play scrimmages.
On five on ESPN.
Or they'll scrimmage some NBA teams.
Yeah. They should hopefully go be Team USA for the Olympics.
Oh, that'd be a good idea. Well, actually, that could be the U18 team.
Well, I mean, like, the problem with the Olympic team is that they don't practice with one another.
Right.
And so we didn't even win the last World Cup of basketball. And we had NBA players who got beat pretty embarrassingly. We would like to do that. I would like to see that happen, a team that actually gets to practice with one another. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to play a quick game real quick?
Okay, quick game.
Let's do it.
As we're talking about basketball recruits, can y'all fill out the top 10 all-time Auburn basketball recruits?
We've done this game on this show.
We've done it with football.
We've done it with basketball.
No, we
haven't. Top 10 basketball recruits?
Yep.
Because Kervonte Barber is top 10.
Yeah, Vaught, because he was an All-American.
So, Sharif, number one. Vought is T4.
Horace Spencer Okoro. Is the fifth highest recruit we've ever had.
Horace Spencer is the 10th recruit.
Okay.
Okoro.
Okoro is number 3.
Chuma.
Chumo Kiki is number 6. That's 5 of them.
So we're
Mustafa Heron.
Mustafa Heron's number 2.
We're missing Tide for 4 and 5.
You're missing T4. There's no number 5. There's two okay. T4s and
okay, two T6.
So you're missing T4, 7, 8, and 9.
Is it? It's not Jared Harper.
No.
And there is this since they've done recruiting?
This is since 24/7's done recruiting.
Is TJ Dunnins on that list?
So since 2020, or since 2000, roughly.
Oh, yeah, TJ Dunnins.
Dunnins on that list?
TJ Dunnins is not on the list.
Oh, I guess it doesn't count because he's
a JUCO. Well, he was a JUCO guy, so he was still like a three-star.
Is Kenny Gabriel on that list?
No.
You're
missing one pretty obvious one, I feel like.
Pretty obvious.
Austin Wiley?
Austin Wiley is T4. Yeah, Austin. Okay. So you're missing number 7, 8, and 9.
It's not Bryce Brown.
Is it Frank Tolbert?
It is a point guard and two power forwards.
Is it Frankie Sullivan?
No. Oh,
Quantes Robertson.
Tony Douglas, Marco Killingsworth. Are they on that?
Neither one.
Oh, they may be before they were ranking basketball.
Yeah, before they were ranking guys.
Because
Marco Killingsworth was like a huge deal signing.
Yeah, he was. Seven, eight, nine, huh?
I'll give you the years. Class of 2010, class of 2017, and class of 2020.
Chris Denson?
No.
No, it's not.
Honestly, I'm not sure the class of 2010 player ever actually played for Auburn.
Boba Garcia?
Yeah.
They're like three people laugh at that
show. Oh, Jack Purchase? Is he on there?
Yazzie. From the class of 2020, the number 7 all-time recruit Auburn's ever signed. JT Thor.
Yeah.
From the class of 2010, the number 8 recruit Auburn's ever signed, Luke Cothran. Does that ring a bell for y'all?
Oh my God.
No.
I don't think he ever played for us.
Oh.
Luke Cothran. No.
Would have been a Barbie recruit.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been a big deal for Barbie to get a 4-star. But...
Auburn fans weren't paying attention to basketball.
And the point guard... Number 9, class of 2017, Davion Mitchell.
Oh. Still kicking it.
Before Sharif Cooper, Davion Mitchell was the best point guard Auburn had signed in the 24/7 rankings.
Hey, he's getting high praise.
Bearing out. He's doing pretty good at Baylor. They might have won the whole thing this year.
They're saying he is in practice right now. They're saying he might be the best defensive guard in the nation coming up this year.
I believe it. As a true freshman, I mean, he was awesome here.
I wish he had stayed. Last year's team would have been, like, unstoppable on defense.
Yeah, I don't think Cothran ever stepped on campus. I'm reading a Skarbinski article about that now.
Skarbinski?
Yeah, that guy. Anyway.
Kevin Skarbinski, Ryan, used to be... all over the boards back in the day when I used to watch the boards. It was, and on both boards, Alabama boards hated him and the Auburn boards hated him, which meant he probably was writing the truth. Or was just trolling.
Luke Cothran originally signed to play at Auburn, and then went to UMass.
Sure.
And then he ended up at CSI, and I don't know what that stands for.
Miami?
College of Southern Idaho.
CSI,
yeah, College of Southern Idaho. That's what I'm looking at right here.
I didn't like after they left Las Vegas, all the CSIs were terrible.
No, man. Miami's the best.
No, they're all bad.
No, Miami's the best because it's the worst.
Is CSI Miami the one with Cool J?
No, Miami's the one with the guy with the glasses. The classic, the meme.
Horatio. Yeah.
The problem with those shows is that they're individually horrible.
They're horrible.
Old
in different
people
ways.
Cannot stop watching them.
So, CSI at Miami is horrible because they have all this technology that does not exist in the show.
Yeah.
Like just enhance. Wild. Yeah. Enhance that picture.
Enhance.
Yeah, it's really bad. CSI New York is bad in its own because it had these like wild storylines.
Right.
But it had Gary Sinise in it, he's a good actor. He was the main guy in it. And no, I think Ryan, you're thinking of NCIS New Orleans or something like that.
Okay.
I think that's the one with LL Cool J in it. That's a different guy.
NCIS is a good show. I will stand by that.
That's a Belisario. He also
it's not a good Quantum. Show, Ryan.
Ryan, Quantum Leap is a show starring Scott Bakula that where a guy figured out how to leap through time, but there's one caveat. Couldn't control it, so he just kept leaping through time to different points. He'd have to solve a problem to keep the time stream from falling apart. Don't really know how. That's not really explained.
No, there's a lot of science in that show not explained.
He solves the problem to keep the time stream flowing right, and then he immediately leaps somewhere else. Had a catchphrase. Oh boy, that was his catchphrase. He would figure out what was going on wherever he was that he leaped to. He'd say, "Oh boy," and then that'd be the end of the episode and the start of the next episode.
Ryan, when we start explaining shows like Quantum Leap to you, do you tune out, or are you like, "Oh good, I'm being told valuable information that I'll maybe need"?
I'm usually tuning out. Yeah.
Had you ever heard of Quantum Leap until we?
I've heard of it. I don't. Okay. I was not familiar with it.
It's a great show.
It's no Quantum same of guy. Solace.
Well, same guy is the showrunner on NCIS. So there you go.
I don't know. CBS. I haven't been able to watch hours upon hours of reruns on USA. Oh. You know, before and after the Notre Dame game, so I wouldn't know. I wouldn't really know about Quantum Leap.
Guys, CBS is the worst television network. And yet, somehow, really, it's the most watched TV show. It is. TV network is. In America.
They have the single worst show on television, which is Big Bang Theory.
Young Sheldon. Young Sheldon.
Big Bang Theory is off the air now.
It's off the air, so Young Sheldon has taken the crown. And it is also the most watched show on television. I don't know about Young Sheldon. Big Bang was.
Oh, it was all over Europe.
They did have the best, not game shows, but.
Ryan.
Come on. No. They pioneered Survivor and Amazing Race.
I'm not a big fan of any of those kind of game shows. So.
No, I mean.
You're hitting the wrong crowd here.
Not anymore, but 20 years ago.
No, never did. No?
The only good game show CBS shows is which SEC West coach is going to be fired next.
Yeah.
They show it at 2:30 every afternoon.
Yeah, it might be Jimbo.
Oh, yeah, man. Golly,
that was probably the high point of
$75 million during a pandemic.
No, they can't.
Now the price of oil is what it is.
That was the high point of Saturday. Was immediately Alabama jumps off to a 14-0 lead. Texas A&M, they screw around. Texas A&M ties it up, and then Alabama just boat races them the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. Just seeing Jimbo just have no answer on offense.
Because at Texas A&M, Chief, the price of crude is directly related to their boosters being able to pay Jimbo's salary.
Yeah.
And so they ain't paying that thing off. Not right now.
What are they going to do when Ryan is president and we go all nuclear?
They're not going to be able to have a team.
No, that's too bad. They're going to go back to the Big 12.
Darn. Hate it.
No, in Texas, it would be like the first state to adopt all nuclear. This state has done nothing but whatever the energy source is, we are going to have it.
Yeah.
We got all the wind turbines you can ever imagine. We've got all the oil.
Yeah, somebody's got to refine that uranium.
Yeah, it's going to be down here, Texas.
I'm sure there's some room out in West Texas to store it.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We are at 38 minutes and 57 seconds. Taking a break. And we are back. We are at the 39-minute mark of this wonderful wonderful television show. I mean, wonderful podcast. That. Lord of mercy. If you're still listening to this, thank you for your patronage.
So, if you're feeling down about this game, everybody go watch. Just fire up whatever TV you got. Go to On Demand. Watch What We Do in the Shadows. Great TV show. It's hilarious. It's good stuff. Do you like mockumentaries?
Sure.
Do you like vampires?
Yeah, sure. I can do that.
Hilarious vampires, I should say.
Does Abraham Lincoln show up at all in this show?
No.
Slay the vampires?
No.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Ryan, you should tell your wife here's, I'm going to give you this. I use this line on my wife every so often. It works 1/10 of the time. Tell her that if she was president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Oh my God. It's good. It's good.
I feel like you got that line from
Wayne's World. It's from Wayne's World.
Okay.
Nine out of 10 times you get an eye roll, don't you?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Or most of, I was, she was like, I was in the middle of a sentence. That's usually what I get. Now, guys, what are we, who are we playing this week, Ryan? What can we tell, what can you tell us about them? Is Auburn going to lose?
We are playing Arkansas.
The Hogs.
Not feeling so confident, at least compared to where it was a week ago.
Hot off a win against Mississippi State. My buddy who lives in Fayetteville said they are selling Arkansas versus Mississippi State t-shirts with the score on it like hotcakes at every store in town.
I bet.
You lose, was their first SEC win in 3 years.
Is it that 20 games? 20 straight conference games they lost?
Depressing. Depressing, depressing. Shout out to Crow, who did predict this result.
Oh, yeah. Mississippi State is going to be trash. And this year, no, and
I think they're going to beat. I think they're going to beat another team that they shouldn't.
This season,
that's just how Mike Leach rolls.
This season is, it us? Is weird. You
I don't
guys.
Know that we qualify as they shouldn't.
After the Georgia game, I said on the Slack over and over again, this season is weird. No games, and I'm going to tell everybody on the podcast right now, nothing counts. At the end of each game, wipe it out of your memory because it will have nothing to do with your next game. Nothing counts. That Mississippi State LSU game did not count. LSU will look much better. Mississippi State will look much worse. Look what happened against Arkansas. Look at LSU last week. Everybody is going to be different week to week because we're holding guys out from practice. Guys haven't practiced together at all. You got a bunch of freshmen who had no spring and no fall camp. It is a weird year. Nothing is right and nothing should count.
Well, I think to that point, I think you're seeing what a brand new offensive line looks like that did not have any live snaps in spring and not very many in the fall practice.
And unfortunately, they weren't going up against Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson in practice either.
Right. So, I think about halfway through the season, we'll start seeing a little more consistency from week to week with teams.
Let's hope so.
But I don't, I just mean teams in general, not necessarily Auburn, but I think Crow's right. Like right now, well, you got people playing real teams where normally they would have just been playing a directional school at this stage in the season, not necessarily this day, this time in the calendar. I mean, we're two games in. You know, sometimes maybe we would have played somebody good. But, you know, we beat that Oregon team, and that might be our best win of the year last year, other than the Alabama win. And I'm not sure that Oregon team or us really played the same way as we did the rest of the year. So it's just interesting how this season will play out because of how weird it is.
Mm. Crow, I asked you a couple weeks ago who the Arkansas quarterback is. Do you remember?
Felipe Franks. I do remember.
There you go. Yes. There you go. Had a decent little game against Mississippi State. 20 for 28, 212 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I don't think you can judge how any offense performs against a Mike Leach team ever. Because generally everybody's going to do pretty well on offense against a Mike Leach team.
Sure. In comparison, KJ Costello from Mississippi State in that game, you know, Mr. 623 yards in week one. Still threw for 300 yards in this game, but had 59 attempts, and his adjusted yards per attempt was 3.4.
Oof.
Against an Arkansas defense. Whereas, for comparison, Bo Nix's adjusted yards per attempt was 3.3 against Georgia. Both absolutely horrid numbers.
Oh, yeah, that's real bad.
But, you know, one was against Arkansas and one was against Georgia.
One's also running the air raid. The straight up air raid.
Yeah.
Sure.
One, 14 points against Arkansas is passing attempts, way worse. And,
yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. Even if we win, if we don't score more than three touchdowns on Arkansas, we are in trouble. That's how I feel about
certainly
it.
Certainly. Yeah.
We've got problems, I should say.
We should have the talent advantage at every position. Yes.
There. Right.
You know, not to say that our offensive line is although, necessarily better than their defensive line, but I think we have a talent advantage.
Right.
Just on paper.
Yeah. Well, and we've got a lot of bad tape to look at to try to correct some problems now, too.
Indeed we do. Indeed we do, Chief.
I think I was thinking during that Georgia game that not just for us fans, but I think also just for the team, that second half against Kentucky sort of papered over some issues and maybe deflected some corrections that may have needed to take place.
Like scoring 8 points against a Kentucky defense in the first half that Ole Miss went and scored 42 on the next week.
So, yeah, maybe we've got enough tape now to figure some things out. We also, I think it's pretty clear that Tank should be our running back. I know I mentioned this just in the off season. I don't know if I mentioned it on the pod, but I know I've talked about it off air a lot to various people, that Gus's penchant for taking about four games to figure out who his running back is doesn't need to take four games this year
in a 10 game season. That's not ideal.
Because it pretty much every year it takes him that long unless he's got somebody like Kerryon Johnson returning.
Even in 2017, you had Clemson fiasco.
Yeah.
So.
Gee.
Oh, I mean, that's essentially what this was, if we're hopeful, right?
Yeah.
This was the Clemson game.
Look,
new offensive coordinator.
We always have a
new offensive coordinator, like god awful offensive line play, a quarterback that's running for his life.
And I think that's everyone's frustration with Gus is that it's not. Nobody can really, with a rational brain, argue against Gus's highs because they are pretty amazing.
They're beating the number one team in the country.
Nobody else.
Against Alabama. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Of anybody.
But the problem with Gus is his lows are lower than Auburn fans want lows to be.
And it's
this
late record against Alabama compared to any other team, and a worse record against Georgia than Will Muschamp.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and the mistakes and the lows feel the same. Like it's the same.
It's the sort same of game. You see the same game over again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we're in purgatory.
When a bad Gus game happens, you can kind of tell it's happening pretty early on.
You could tell real early on Saturday.
And when a good Gus game is happening, it really is like he has a game plan. And if his game plan is working, this game is going to be a blast. And if his game plan isn't working, it's not working from jump street, and it's going to be bad and get worse through the end of the fourth quarter.
But anyway, we got these two coaches that really want to beat Arkansas bad on Saturday.
It could be a bloodletting.
And a quarterback that's pissed off about his performance.
Yeah.
And an established running back, finally.
And a quarterback that plays, he's like a different dude at home. He plays really well at home. So...
He's a young quarterback. That'll happen.
Yeah. Aside from most of the Georgia game last year.
Gosh, the Georgia game last year, again, Harold Joyner catches that pass. The Gus Malzahn story.
It wasn't a great pass.
It wasn't a bad pass. I mean, it wasn't a good pass. It wasn't a good pass at all. It was Bo Nix's fault.
But it hit him. It should have caught him.
Had Harold Joyner catches, if that pass is better. Let's put it that way. If that pass is completed, the Gus Malzahn legacy is, remember that comeback in 2019 versus Georgia? Number one. Because we win that game. Game's out. We win the game.
Well, that ties the game.
Yeah, but the momentum is completely in Auburn's favor.
Sure. Right.
They just come back.
If Auburn wins that game, you're basically looking at 2017 or 2019 being a repeat of 2017.
Right.
Without winning the division because LSU goes undefeated.
And Guth gets a 5-year extension.
And we are pissed off this year.
Yeah. They give him $85 million guaranteed for 5 years.
Gus is, here's the funny thing about Gus's contract is if the coronavirus doesn't happen, I'm convinced that the coaching carousel this year, the contracts that would be getting signed this coming offseason, would have made that contract look like we got him for peanuts.
I mean, Jimbo's already on one. That's what I keep, like, I make fun of that and talk about how dumb Texas A&M are, because they are way dumber than we are. Because they gave a guy $75 million
guaranteed.
He could have coached one day and left, and they still owed him $75 million.
Yeah.
What kind of maniacs do that kind of thing? And you can't convince me they're in a situation where
they just quit. So, just show up on game days, just wear the colors.
Which is essentially what he did at Florida State that last year he was there. Yeah. That's what everybody seems to forget. He just kind of quit on them. It's like the dude that like starts dating a girl while she's dating somebody else and then expects it not to happen to him. Like, you know.
Speaking of not quit, I feel like it needs to be said that the biggest difference between that Georgia game and most of the 2012 games that were bad as well is at no point did I feel like the team on offense, at least, was going to give up. I have no doubt. Like, I that never comes in my brain. For whatever reason, the dudes play hard for Gus.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I'm not sure if the result is any different if they did.
Yeah. They looked pretty demoralized in that game. And
outside of Bo,
could be projecting my own feelings of demoralization onto them, but it looked like shell shock in some cases. It was ugly, but shouldn't be against a bad Arkansas team.
Got the same record as Auburn.
That's true. But from a talent perspective, our current offensive coordinator left them in a pretty bad spot.
Yeah.
Let's just cross our fingers and hope for a repeat of what was it, the 2016 Arkansas game? Just run for 300, 400 yards on them.
Yeah, we've really spanked. Oh man, that would put a lot of people's minds at ease if we just
tank
ran
runs
all
for 200. You know, Schwartz and Eli both get some big touchdowns on the ground.
Mark
do a lot of power back, right? Is that what we want to do? Power back Bo?
No, please don't do that anymore. The thing is, now we've seen that we do have a Wildcat this year.
Yeah,
dude. His name is JJ Pegues.
That was the best. Yeah. That was the best. Look, no matter what happens, if we lose every game this year, it's all worth it because we got to see Pegues, however you say his name. At Wildcat.
Hey, if he throws a pass, is he an automatic Heisman winner?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, if he throws a touchdown pass,
yeah,
sure.
He's going to throw that touchdown against Alabama.
Oh man.
Nothing would make me happier on this planet than J.J. Pegues hitting Bo Nix for a touchdown against Alabama.
And then we get to hear all offseason about, hey, maybe he should be the quarterback.
Oh my gosh. All right, with that, we're out of here.
Oh, no.